Thank you for the songs that were selected. They all mean a lot, different things to me. Hope they do to y'all. It's good to see everybody. Different ones, visitors, welcome. And hope that, as Brother Barrington has mentioned, that it does feel like home, that it does feel like brothers and sisters, and that we can get along with one another or fuss with one another and eventually forgive one another and act like a family. And that happens periodically. We do. Just like any family, you have disagreements and arguments, but it's all hopefully in a loving, kind way that we can all get back in fellowship with one another and treat each other in a kind and gentle way like family. It seems to me that there's a lot of doubt in the world, and that periodically we have a lot of doubt, and we have different things that cause us to doubt about different things, and we wonder about this or we wonder about that, and there are things in the world that cause us to doubt and cause us to be discouraged about life and about different things. And I just got to thinking a little earlier ago, you know, there's everything in this Bible right here is not meant for doubt. It's meant for encouragement. So everything you read in the instructions of the Bible is to encourage you and to give you hope and to give you strength in life and to encourage you in life. And as we meet here, that's what we intend to do, is try to give each other some encouragement. Even the chastening of our God is encouragement. He's encouraging us to be more faithful, to be more Christ-like, to be more like His Son. So even when you're being discouraged, or when you're being chastised, don't look at it as children. Don't look at it as there's no hope, because the thing is that your mom or dad, your parents are encouraging you to live better, to be a better person. And that's not really the thoughts that I've had on my mind, but that occurred to me a little earlier, and I wanted to get that out and say that, just because I think it's obvious that God put it on my mind to say it. But we come here, and there's, like I said, there's a lot of doubt and everything, but I'm going to read here in the 13th chapter of the Hebrew letter. It starts off, "Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." And that could be ministers, or it could be children, other children of God. It's not necessarily talking about angelic beings, but it's talking about you've entreated or met someone that is your brother or sister, angels in Christ. And you may not even know about it. And the way you act, and I've been guilty of this, that I haven't lived a perfect life. I've not lived a Christian life every day of my life. And there are times in my life where I entertain strangers unaware, and my example to them was not a good, godly way of living. And so let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. And if you believe, as I do, I believe that the Apostle Paul wrote to the Hebrews, and that he wrote this letter to the Hebrews. Whether he actually pinned it down himself or had others transcribe it, that's really not an issue to me. I believe that it was from the heart of the Apostle Paul that he had, or he wrote, he actually penned it down, or he had someone else pin it down for him, that he is the one that is the author of the letter. But he was in bonds and bound physically, and so he was not at liberty to go anywhere that he wanted to. And we may feel that way from time to time as children. We're definitely bound to our room sometimes. We're bound to the house. We can't go outside and play or this and that. But remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. And then the next verse is really the one that I want to get to. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. And it continues on with a lot of other good thoughts, but the thought that I had today was, how long is never? He said that I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. How long is that? Forever. And you know, yes, to all of us, it's continual. And in life, and I don't know how many of you have ever experienced this or not, but I've heard people say, and I've even said it, I will never do that again. Have you ever said that? I will never say that again. I will never do that again. I will never be like that again. And as far as the flesh is concerned, I'm a total failure. When I say I will never. In my adult life, I've learned to not say I will never, but I hope that I will never do that again. I hope that my life now will be such that I have not done some of the things that I have done. And so, but think about that point that the Apostle Paul, I believe, is making here. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Never. And there are other places that I looked at in like in Matthew, where it's talking about the sheep and the goats, and he said to those, I never knew thee. You know, how long is that? It's forever. He never knew them. He never will know them. He never knew them. And then he said to the others, come. And I go read it, and I'm just from memory. Come and I can't remember, but it's come with me, or it's in the 7th chapter of Matthew. And my memory is so poor that I have to read things.
It's worse.
In the 7th chapter of Matthew, starting at the 21st verse, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And you may think that that's from the flesh. That a man just up and decides to do the will of the Father, that's not it at all. If you ever do the will of the Father, you're doing it from the Spirit. You're doing it from because you have been regenerated, because you are a child of God, because you are in the family of God. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Haven't we done all these good works for you? And then will I prophesy unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So there's a never there. I never knew you. But over here in Hebrews, it's apparent that he knew them, because he's saying, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You know, a lot of times we have contracts, and it mentions marriage there. We have marriage vows and this and that. And as faithful husbands and wives, sometimes we say, I will never do this or never do that. And we sometimes break those promises. Or it's been my experience that I have, and that others have. But here in marriage, in the marriage contract that we have as the bride of Christ, as we have a faithful husband that says, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee," and so many times in today's life in the flesh, we see people leaving their spouses, even though in the marriage contract they said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake thee. Here we have a husband that is telling us that I will never leave you nor forsake you. And also, I don't believe that he can leave us. I don't believe that he could if he wanted to. Because whenever the regeneration occurs, whenever you're born of the Spirit of God, that Spirit of God is placed within your heart. It is placed within you, and you become a new man. You become a new person in life. And the Spirit of God is in you. And it's not going to come and go like so many faiths that we have today, that you're born of the Spirit since you were a child, but if you don't do this or you don't do that, you're not a child of God anymore. Well, that's not right. You're a seed of God because of the seed that was placed within you, which is Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so that seed, that Spirit, is within you and cannot leave you. And so therefore he can say, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now think about if he could leave us, that he could forsake us. Then the next little passage there, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. If he's gone one day and back the next, how can we boldly say that the Lord is my helper? He's not here because he left me because I did this or I did that. I can't say that he boldly say that the Lord is my helper. But if he never leaves us and he never forsakes us, then we can boldly say that the Lord is my helper. So I want you to think about how long is never. Is it here today and gone tomorrow? Or is it an encouragement to us that he will never, ever, ever forsake us? There's one other scripture I looked at that I believe is in connection with this. It's in the Corinthian letter. In the fourth chapter of the Corinthian letter. And there's a lot of other truths and a lot of other things in the Corinthian letter, but I want to start down here at the 14th verse. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with him. That's a pretty positive statement. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus, God himself raised up Christ, shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with him. Where's Christ? He's going to present us in the resurrection with Christ. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, this body is dying daily, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. That inward man that it's talking about there, the new birth, the Spirit of God, is in us, working within us day by, and is renewed day by day. And it's an encouragement to us day by day that we are the children of God and that he will never leave us nor forsake us. And Brother Barrington's got a lot more to say about different things. So,
thank you, Brother.